All right, Proverbs, the third chapter, the 11th and 12th verse, these instructions. My son, the relationship here is between a father and a child. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. All right, now, based on that passage of Scripture, what is chastening? Is correction. You say that? It's correction. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Now, over in, let's go back to Hebrews now, but you hold your finger there, because we'll be coming back to it. Let's read it here as Paul quotes it. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Rebuked of him. Now the word rebuke does not have a very pleasant connotation. But if you look that up in the Greek, the word that is translated there, rebuke, literally means admonished or corrected. Same basic idea. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, let me make a point right here. Look at verse 3. He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Down below it says, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Do you see the connection? Does anybody see the connection? What is the connection? What is the inference?
Don't ever take your sight off Jesus.
All right, but it's more than that. Yeah, but it's more than that. What's the connection? Okay. Yeah, okay. All of those things are true. Let me give you the connection that I'm seeing. All right. Up above we talked about it's but the difficulties that are coming in this life cause us to become faint and cause us to become weary. Is that right? Cause us to become discouraged. They do try us. They do test us. In verse number 5, whose purpose is being served by that? Yeah, ultimately, but who's in that?
The Lord.
Yes. Be rebuked by who?
Lord.
Yeah. Don't be faint when thou art admonished, disciplined, chastised, corrected, or rebuked of the Lord. In the same way that a father corrects his son. Is the same principle that our Heavenly Father corrects us. His purpose is to bring about a correction. His purpose is to bring about an improvement. His purpose is to correct something in our life that is not right. You see that? All right, now. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. Does God chasten, admonish, correct, and rebuke? Does he? According to the scripture, he does. It says the chastening of the Lord. It is God who is doing it. It's God whose ultimate purpose is being served. We're going to find that there are many instruments which he uses to accomplish the purpose. But it is God's ultimate purpose that is being served in order to make a change in us. All right, let's read on. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now there's something very interesting here. The word chasten literally means in the Greek to train or to educate. What would happen to your children if you never corrected your children, never trained them, never gave them any education or guidance? What would happen to them? They'd grow up to be wild animals, wouldn't they? What happens to a Christian who is unchastened, uncorrected, undisciplined? Same way. Just like a wild animal. And if not careful, right back into the same pit that he came out of. We're going to see that in just a little bit. The child not corrected will never be of any use to his father or mother, any benefit to society, and never be a blessing to his mother and father. The scripture says that a disobedient son will bring dishonor upon his mother. And the same thing is true with a Christian. An undisciplined, uncorrected, wild child will bring reproach upon his heavenly Father. God has a system of correction and a system of discipline, a system of training and a system of instruction in order to produce certain qualities in us. And from the moment that we become a Christian, He begins right then to begin to do this work in us, to produce something in us. We'll see down here in, let's look at verse 10, because we'll see. For they verily, that is earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. He wants us to partake of his nature. He wants us to partake of his holiness. He wants us to become like him. And so we must be trained. We must be educated. We must be corrected. Now, we don't like to think that God punishes us. But the fact is that he does. In the scripture that we just read, 6, the word says there that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If he loves you, he will correct you, discipline you, educate you. It also says, however, that he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, do you know what the word scourge means? Who else was scourged? Jesus was scourged. Do you know what the word scourge means? Yeah. To whip. Means to be flogged. Means to be beat on. Now, does God flog his children? How many have ever been flogged by the Lord? He is the world's best flogger. I mean, he really knows how to do it. He can get your attention like that. And if you don't listen to him, he'll do it again. And he'll stay on you. He will scourge. He will flog. He will whip you. Now, the question is, how does he do that? Does he do that by crippling your body?
No.
Does he do it with cancer?
No.
Those kinds of things? No, they're not the things that he... How does he do these things? Lovingly, yes, but how does that pretty hard to feel that love sometimes when the whip is creasing across your back, isn't it? Huh?
Obstacles to success.
All right, that's one. Allow
you to be prosperous.
Vera?
In the Bible, even in when we have words with him, when we're reading in his word, he'll bring something to us and say, hey,
what does that do, though? Yeah, and how do you feel? Awful. Have you ever felt when God was whipping you that you would rather take a whipping with a cat of nine tails? That you'd rather have somebody break the flesh on your back than take the What's the word I'm looking for? The displeasure of the Heavenly Father. You know what I'm talking about? It would be easier to take a whipping than to realize that God was angry at you. You know the feeling that I'm talking about? He does scourge. He does whip. He does beat on. He does allow us to struggle in order to train us, and in order to discipline us, and in order to correct us. Verse number 7. If ye endure chastening. How do you endure chastening? Pardon?
Difficulty.
No.
Giving into it, yielding to it?
Yield to it. Right. Yield to it. Rather than resisting it. You see, many people who are chastened of the Lord will have this kind of, if this is what it's like to be a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. They will become bitter towards God, resentful and angry towards the Lord. Have you ever met anybody like that? Encounter difficult. I just gave my life to Jesus Christ and things have never been worse. If this is what it's like to be a child of God, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And become bitter towards the Lord. Become angry towards God. All of a sudden come up against His Word where the Word says, thou shalt not. And say, well, if that's what it takes, thou shalt not. I'm just not going to serve Him. See? And won't do that Word. When correction comes through the Word, when instruction and guidance and discipline comes, rather than it's, some of you have had this with your children. That one child, you'll have one child in your family, perhaps I'll make this comparison, may not even be the same family, but one child, when the child's done wrong, he knows he's done wrong, you can see it on his face, and you don't have to whip him. And he just knows, he whips himself. You know those kinds of children? They just get that sorrowful look on their face, and you can see repentance, you can see correction has already taken place. There are other children that when you whip them, the more you whip them, the harder they get. Like that. Well, they're Christians like that too. They're Christians like that. And we're going to see in just a few, well, let's go to it right now. Let's take a few verses down here. Verse number 13. We're jumping around a little bit. We'll go back and put it together. Verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know what he's saying? Yield so that you will be corrected and not rejected. Yield. You see, there's a lameness in your life. If God's doing a correction, there's a lameness already there. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame. Follow the straight and narrow way, lest that area of your life that is lame, lest it be turned out of the way. Follow and yield to the discipline and the correction of God, lest you be turned out of the way. Rather be corrected than rejected. Do you see that? In that verse, does that make sense to you? Yield to what God is doing for you. Now, who is our example in the middle of trial?
Jesus
is our example. What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was entering the trial, the chastisement of God? The scripture, Isaiah 53, said, the chastisement of our peace was on him. What did he do? But what did he do when he prayed?
He
committed himself to God and he yielded himself. Somebody said that over here. He yielded himself to the Lord. Now you and I are likely to say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. What do you want me to go shed my blood? I'm holy. I'm born again. I don't have any sin in my life. I'm washed clean by the blood of Jesus. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not. But how did Jesus pray?
So not my will.
Not my will, but thy will be done. He said, I will take theirs on me. We looked at Jesus, the scripture says in Isaiah, the 5th verse, we looked at him and we thought he was smitten by God and afflicted of God because of his own problems. But it wasn't, it was for us. He was afflicted. He yielded to that. He yielded to that, you see? Gave himself to it. Did not struggle against it. Does that make sense to you? Huh? He's our example. Jesus is our example. All right, verse 7 again. If ye endure chastening, if you maintain your ground while you're being chastened, if you stand firm and fast while you're being corrected, don't lose your faith. Don't get off the word. Don't begin to get bitter and resentful against God. Then God is dealing with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Has anybody here ever had a child that never needed correction? For some of you, maybe some of you were that kind of child. Anybody here who was that kind of a child themselves? So good that they never needed to be corrected. Verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, if you're not uncorrected, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now you can see where this philosophy of let your children do their own thing comes from. Don't restrain or correct your children at all, but let them do whatever they want to do. Dr. Spock, I guess, was the father of that philosophy, wasn't he? You know where that comes from? Comes out of the pit. The word says that all are partakers as sons. And if you don't, if your parents do not discipline you, if they do not correct you, if they do not chastise you, and if they don't flog you from time to time, they don't love you. Is that right?
Amen.
That's the truth. All kids need to hear that. And all parents need to hear it too. Because as Christian parents, you are bombarded with the philosophies of the world that say to hit your child or to correct your child or to discipline your child or to restrain your child would be to cripple them emotionally. There's only one way to cripple a child emotionally, and that is to leave the child completely alone. Let them do their own thing. They grow up like a wild animal.
But we need to always remember that this must be done with meditation, prayer, and love.
Of course it's to be done in love. Of course it's to be done in love. But it's not to be avoided, because if it's avoided, it's not love. Right. Oh, yes.
Good point.
Oh, yes. It can't be avoided. Children, who was I? It was you. You were telling us just the other night about a man who had taken a child into his home just for a day or so to watch the child, 4 or 5 year old child. And the child, this man had raised about 5 children of his own, as I remember the story. And he had adopted the practice of speaking once to a child. And the second time was not speaking, was action. And so with this child, he said, come on, let's go and do something.
Well, that's a child from another home that was a very unruly child.
Okay.
Nobody else would want to watch.
Nobody else look after this child. And so he said, come on, let's do thus and so. And the child said, no. You ever seen one like that? Have you ever been in the presence of a family where they had a child like that, it wasn't even your child, and you just wanted to take your hand, lay it across that child? It's a normal reaction. There's a normal response. Child says, no. Well, that was the last note that the child uttered. The discipline was administered on the spot, correction on the spot, and for the rest of the day, that child followed that guy around like a little puppy dog. Loved him with every word, with him, just, they had just such a beautiful relationship. Now that's correction, it's administered in love. I'm not talking about sadism. I'm not talking about treating a child like he was an animal. But discipline and correction. And God corrects us in the same way that our fathers corrected us. This is what he's using the comparison here. He said, if you as a child, as you grew up physically as a child and never got any correction, it means you don't have a father. You're a bastard. You're without a father. And your father showed his love towards you, that he corrected you and disciplined you. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. That's what it means, physical fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. They chastised us, and we gave them honor and reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, God, and live? Shouldn't we rather also yield to him? For they, that is our fleshly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us, just a short time, after their own pleasure. In other words, they did what they thought was right, according to their own pleasure. But he, God, for our profit, he's doing it not for his pleasure, he's doing it for our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We have said how many times that it is the plan and purpose of God that we should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to be holy as he is holy. We're told over and over again in the Word of God that he is holy and we are to be that same way. And in order for us to become that way, God must correct us and chasten us and discipline us. And his purpose is that we would be a partaker of his nature. Well, we're in Peter's letter. He said that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, and that by our knowledge of the things of God, we become partakers of the divine nature of God. Now, no chastening, verse 11, for the present seemeth to be joyous. Who likes to be corrected? Who likes to be flogged? Who likes to be disciplined and chastised? Nobody likes to be stopped. Everybody wants to do their own thing. It does not seem to be joyous, but rather grievous. It hurts. Nevertheless, afterward, after it's finished, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those who are exercised or who are exercised in discipline and correction will have produced in them the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Do you know what the peaceable fruit of righteousness is? That's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of righteousness? You all look up in verse 10. Holiness. The fruit of righteousness is holiness, the nature of God. Righteousness in you, it does produce all of these other things. It produces peace and love and joy and so on, the fruits of the Spirit. But the essential fruit of righteousness, when you are righteous, what ought to be produced in a righteous tree is the nature of God, holiness. That's his nature. Go with me over to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans 6, verse number 19. Let's read a couple of verses there. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity into iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end is everlasting life. Righteousness in us will produce the fruit of holiness, which is the nature and the likeness of God. And Romans 8 and 29 says that that is God's purpose. He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants his nature formed and completed and perfected in us. And one of the ways that that will come about after we are born again is the correction, the discipline, and the chastising of God. It is not pleasant while we're going through it, but it is to be yielded to so that it will produce in us the nature of God. Verse 12. Back in Hebrews 12. Now let's count this and we'll go back and pick up a couple of these things. Wherefore, because of all this, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. What does that say to you? Remember the context now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's part of it.
Become stronger and yield them to the Lord so that you can be strengthened in His word.
Okay. Alright. Alright. In your weakness you do become much stronger. The weakness here is basically discouragement. This word, the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, it's an expression, it's a Bible expression used in this place that means, are you familiar with the expression when your dog hurts down? You don't know that expression? If you know what a dauber is, a dauber is a piece of soft fabric on the end of some kind of a stiff thing that you daub with. You take a liquid, you daub it on. All right, now it works real good as long as it's nice and firm and strong. But when your dauber's hanging down, you can't daub with it. It's like trying to use a wet noodle to do something. You understand that? Okay. All right. When you are feeling like that, when you're so discouraged and you're so low, you're in the midst of a discouragement and a disappointment and almost a depression, and you think life is just not worth living anymore. That's having your hands hang down and your knees being weak and feeble, and you're just like, you know, you just no strength at all. Have you ever been like that? Most Christians are like that all the time. Unfortunately, they are. Paul says, lift up the hands that are hanging down and strengthen the feeble knees. And go on and make straight paths for your ways, so that the lame, so that your weakness and your lameness, instead of being turned out of the way completely and rejected of God, that you be corrected and strengthened. Do you see that? Don't be discouraged. That's what it means. Moving anymore. Your way, so that the lame, so that your weakness and your lameness, instead of being turned out of the way completely and rejected of God, that you be corrected and strengthened. Do you see that? And so don't be discouraged. That's what it means. All those two verses mean, don't be discouraged. Yield to the Lord. Praise God in the middle of it. See, glorify God and worship Him in the middle of it and praise Him. Lift up your weak hands, see, in praise and adoration, thanksgiving unto God. Be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what you feel like, no matter what it looks like. You magnify and you praise God because you know He's working out His good for you, His best for you in every situation and in every circumstance which comes along. Refuse to be discouraged when you're chastened and when you're disciplined and when you think, well, I'm just going to give up. It's just not worth it anymore. I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm just not going to do it any longer. I'm going to forget to hold that blessed thing. You ever felt like that? Lift up those weak hands and strengthen those feeble knees. And put your trust and your confidence in God. That's what that whole thing is about.